Now I'm just thinking, I don't know what the time is, but isn't that just basically the murderer?
That's what I'm gonna inherit you.
Yo, that's some crazy stuff. It's giving Telemundo, Telenovela.
Yes.
If you think you know what the answer is, do call us up. If I've taken it too far, or with Inspector Gadget, Agatha Christie, do tell me, do tell us. That's on 0955-997.
Oh my God, I love that cartoon.
Or even on 0961-690-487, or on 0979-192-485. Coming up next, though, is your news in detail.
The Queen's on Breakfast. The Power Breakfast, 6 to 10 a.m.
Right here on your one and only station.
Power FM. Broadcasting live in digital HD radio from the powerhouse in Lusaka. Power. 91.3 FM.
The Power FM News, brought to you by Techno Accessories. Techno, say hello to original.
Bringing you hot off the press news from Lusaka, Arkabwe, Livingstone, and Copperbelt News Bureau. The Power FM News. FM News.
Illegal firearm trade negatively affecting national economies. Green Economy and Environment Minister Mike Mposha condemns high corruption levels at the Zambia Environmental Management Agency, ZEMA. In international news, Madagascar's president faces impeachment threat amid reports he has fled. In sports news, FIFA inducts FAZ, or FAZ, a club admins into professionalism and management.
And now, the Power FM News.
With upfront and reliable news, I am Shekaina Sakala. Heads of Arms Trade Treaty, ATT, Secretariat Karina Solmarino says the illegal trade in firearms has a negative impact on national economies, including the gross domestic product, GDP, as it fuels insecurity and diverts resources meant for development. Speaking within an interview on the sidelines of the Arms Trade Treaty Trainer of Trainers workshop in Lusaka, Ms. Solmarino said illegal arms contribute to increased violence and instability, which in turn discourage investment and hinder economic progress. She explained that when resources are channeled towards addressing armed violence and insecurity, fewer funds are available for essential sectors such as education, health, and infrastructure development. Ms. Solmarino added that this is one of the key reasons the Arms Trade International Treaty was established, to promote transparency and accountability in the international arms trade to ensure weapons do not fall into the wrong arms. She said the ATT Secretariat continues to support member states, including Zambia, in building capacity to implement treaty effectively and strengthen their legal and institutional frameworks.
This sounds profoundly in the African region and also in the Latin American region. We realize that countries that join the treaty are very eager to change the legislation, to make the changes, to become more responsible when it comes to importing or exporting weapons. And they are also much interested in learning about diversion, which is a big issue in many of these societies. Again, because between diversion and illicit trafficking, there's a very thin line. And so I think, you know, in terms of the achievements, I would say the Secretariat has been able to provide capacity and assistance to many of the countries, not only in Africa, but in Latin America and in Asia Pacific as well.
Green Economy and Environment Minister Mike Mposha has condemned what he has alleged as very high levels of corruption among some officers at the Zambia Environmental Management Agency, ZEMA, citing cases where officials deliberately withhold decisions to extort money from clients. The minister has therefore issued a strong warning against corruption, laziness, and poor work culture at the agency, emphasizing that such behavior is undermining the country's development efforts. During an impromptu visit at ZEMA offices yesterday morning, the minister found most offices empty while clients were waiting for service. Mr. Mposha said it was disheartening to see public workers report late for work, despite government's emphasis on efficiency and accountability. He warned that such practices would soon attract not only dismissals, but arrests. Meanwhile, Mr. Mposha has directed ZEMA management to intensify field inspections and hold inspectors personally accountable for environmental degradation, pollution, and unsafe mining practices in their areas of operation.
We don't know 17 hours in this government, because the president works up to 01. He will be working. Sometimes he will be having meetings with us up to late in the night. But if all this is being done, and then you on the ground, who are supposed to run with those instructions, are coming for work after 8:20, after 8:30, your clients, I've seen so many clients that are in the company, will be waiting for you in your office. Is that how we must work? What is the official reporting time? 8 hours. And most of the offices there by 8:20, 8:25 were still locked. I'm meeting people after 8 in your corridors, still cleaning the offices.
Vice President Mutale Nalumango has urged stakeholders to move from reactive responses to proactive strategies in mining disasters, and rather managing disasters, emphasizing the importance of preparedness and resilience building. Speaking during the commemoration of the International Day for Disaster Risk Reduction in Lusaka, Ms. Nalumango said the country must act on early warning signs to prevent loss of life and protect livelihoods from disasters such as floods and disease outbreaks. She stated the need to invest in resilience-building measures, noting that effective disaster risk management begins long before a crisis occurs. The Vice President also highlighted the importance of collaboration among government agencies, civil society and academic institutions, describing partnership as essential to achieving national and global disaster risk reduction goals. Mrs. Nalumango expressed gratitude to all partners supporting disaster preparedness initiatives and reaffirmed government's commitment to safeguarding the well-being of current and future generations through stronger disaster resilience. Over 15,000 farmers in Central Province have so far redeemed their farming inputs under the Farmer Input Support Program, FISP. Central Province Principal Public Relations Officer Tobias Peary says the provincial figures indicate that 15,055 farmers have so far successfully accessed their inputs out of the 162,711 registered under the program. Mr. Peary explained that Kapirimposhi District recorded the highest number of redemptions with 3,103 farmers, while Ngabwe District recorded the lowest at 162. The government has urged more farmers to redeem their inputs early in preparation for the next farming season. Meanwhile, the Food Reserve Agency, FRA, has exceeded its maize purchase target for the province, buying over 190,000 metric tons of maize against an initial target of 80,000 metric tons. To facilitate payments, the government has released more than 233 million kwacha for farmers who supplied maize to the agency.
A total of 15,065 farmers across Central Province have redeemed their farming inputs under the Farmer Input Support Program, FISIP. The province has a total of 162,711 farmers. Kapirimposhi District so far has the largest number of farmers who have redeemed their inputs at a total of 3,103 farmers. And Ngawe District has the least number of farmers at 102 farmers. I wish to mention that more farmers are currently redeeming their inputs, and government is encouraging farmers to redeem their farming inputs so that they can prepare for the next farming season when good in time. Government, through the Food Reserve Agency FRA, has so far bought a total of 190,505.95 metric tons of non-GMO white grade A maize against the initial target of 80,000 metric tons. This means that the target has been beaten by over 110,000 metric tons. I wish to state that payments to farmers who supply this are being made after government made available a total of 232 million kwacha for the province to pay the farmers.
In international news, Madagascar's embattled President Andry Rajoelina is facing threat of impeachment for abandonment of post. Reports say he fled the country after a powerful military unit backed by protesters demanding his resignation. Rajoelina is due to address the nation later, though it isn't clear from where. He said in a statement on Sunday that an attempt to seize power illegally was underway. Meanwhile, a senior army general says the security forces are working together to maintain order in the island nation. Hundreds of protesters have gathered in the capital to ramp up pressure on the president to resign. Still within international news, about 300,000 people have fled South Sudan so far in 2025 as armed conflict between rival leaders threatens civil war, the United Nations warns. The mass displacement was reported on Monday by the UN Commission on Human Rights in South Sudan. The report cautioned that conflict between President Salva Kiir and suspended First Vice President Riek Machar risks to return to full-scale war. The Commission's report called for an urgent regional intervention.